Welcome back to the Balance is Bullshit podcast, the real stories of blending motherhood and career, where we're sitting down with mamas and caregivers that are making waves in their career. And we get the unvarnished version of what it's like, their trade-offs, the epiphanies, the milestones. Whether you're here because it's a tough day, you're celebrating, or you want to get tools to craft your most fulfilled life, we've got you. And remember, you're welcome here as your whole self, not just your best self. Let's get to today's episode.
Welcome back. Jess here. Are we having fun yet? I'm loving this. Are you? I would love to hear what your experience has been so far in these first few episodes. Today is another banger. Wait, what? What did I just say? Who am I? Nick Vial? No. Let me try that again. Today is another one that I am pumped for. We have Samantha Manuel on the show today. And from a bio perspective, she is a seasoned customer practitioner and leader with over 14 years of experience in the dynamic world of SaaS and CRM. And she's very accomplished at driving business growth. She's led numerous complex global enterprise organizations to successful adoption of SaaS tools. And she's not just a leader. She's a team player, adept at bringing cross-functional teams together to achieve organizational goals. And when she's not busy leading the charge, coaching, enabling her teams to achieve successful outcomes, you'll find Samantha attending her son's soccer matches or math tournaments, traveling to find the best wellness spas in the Southwest, and creating a portfolio of interior design ideas for her coastal dream home. On today's episode, we have a chance to really catch up. We're both in this unique spot of being out of the corporate grind for a minute, looking for our next adventure. We talk about how we're navigating those conversations with our kids without scaring them, but also with treating them like adults. We talk about this struggle to believe we are enough and knowing we are enough and practicing that knowing. And we cover so much around mental health in the customer success space, and really throughout life. I am beyond excited for you to have a glimpse into Samantha's world and all that she's learned as an incredible resource in the customer success space, and also a mama of a pretty amazing little man. Huge thank you to Samantha, and huge thank you to you. Enjoy.
All right. Let's go. Samantha, you've logged in, and like immediately seeing your face and hearing your voice just put a big smile on my face and kind of warmed my heart. I just want to reach out and give you a hug. I'm so happy to have you here. Thank you for saying yes and being willing to share.
Yes. I'm so happy that I have the opportunity to do this. I'm so excited for you on this journey, and I'm happy just to talk like we always talk. We've always had this rapport, so I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we got a chance to catch up a little bit before we pressed record, and I'm sure some of those themes will pop up in the conversation today, but it's just so good to see you. So for those of you, you heard Samantha's bio, but a little bit more context. I'm lucky enough to have worked with her for several years at our last company, and we had some pretty high highs and some pretty low lows there, huh?
Indeed. Yes, we did.
Yeah. But one of the things I valued so much about my relationship with Samantha is, you know, we would get together on our periodic one-on-ones, and hopefully you remember them as fondly as I do. And we'd talk about, like, before we dive into work, we'd almost always talk about, like, how's your son? What's going on in your life?
Yes.
Here's what's going on in my most recent craziness with my two kiddos. And it just, I don't know, it just always for me was refreshing. And so much of what I love about working and supporting other people is, like, not just supporting them at work, but the human element. So, and one of the things that caused me to pause and look up very much to you, I could get a little bit emotional, but you have always carried yourself with such grace in all of the things you do and from a professional standpoint. And to know that you do all of that at work and you are a mama to a beautiful boy, Cairo, at home, and a single mama at that, I just am incredibly, I truly am incredibly in awe of you and very much appreciate you spending time with me today.
Oh, thank you so much. Don't get me all choked up as well, but yes, I have always appreciated our, you know, our conversations and what I really love about your leadership style is that you do have like a whole person approach. I admire that. I bring that to, you know, how I relate to folks that, you know, I get to speak with and I get to coach and mentor. And it's always just been such a breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
To know that there are other, you know, women leaders out there, other moms out there that are just like, hey, you know, I know, you know, what it's like and I'm interested in you as a whole person. So.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. I'm glad we found each other in this, this crazy world. So I always like to just start with how are you? I mean, this is a crazy time. And before we dive into the nitty gritty of your background and your career journey and what you're up to now, I'd really just like, how are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a very, like, you know, interesting question these days. Yeah. It's, you know, it's such a, you know, different time. You know, something that I always like say in my head, something that you used to say all the time is there's so much challenge and change. And there's been a lot of challenge lately. But even in the midst of that, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I feel like, you know, I have an opportunity to listen to my body a little bit more. I have an opportunity to pause and just like really be present with my son, with Cairo. And I have an opportunity to really think about, you know, what's next for me. I'll give the audience a little bit more context. Back in January, I was laid off from my company and it was a total shock to me. After having a like impeccable year, and, you know, really, you know, going through a lot of highs and lows of change, in achieving President's Club, which is usually not something that a CSM within the strategic space is able to achieve. I was just on such a high, and then, you know, this decision came down. And so it was like a shock to the system. But now, you know, in the time that I've had to kind of like transition out of that role and think about what I want to do next, I do feel like I really have a unique opportunity to focus on not just my mental health, but my physical health, and, you know, really dive a little bit deeper into what's the next, you know, step for me in my career and what that's going to look like. I know that it will still be in CS. I know it will still be focused on, you know, supporting customers to their desired outcomes, but I think that it'll look a little bit different and I'll approach it a little bit differently. And so I'm leaning on that to feel good on a daily basis. I'm leaning on having more hope for the future. You know, and I have my moments, but that's
you're
just
human.
I'm gonna say that's a part you're of human. Being human. Yeah. You're gonna have moments where, you know, like you doubt yourself and you kind of beat yourself up. And
so much of what you just said, so many people can relate to. And the fact that you're using this time and acknowledging the fact that it is hard and there are challenges and change is hard, but you're spending the time investing in yourself, you will be stronger and you are already incredibly talented. I know, and you and I have texted about this because as someone who may be getting familiar with the show, with myself, I'm also out in the market looking for my next opportunity as a go-to-market leader. And we've shared in saying, gosh, it's painful sometimes and it's hard out there. And we were texting the other day, even saying that someone had said to me, the right one won't say no. And I am really all about, and I think I heard this in the way you were talking about your search too, not just finding a job, because we pour ourselves in, right? Like we pour Absolutely. Our hearts in. We're finding, yes. we're looking for the right match to be able to put that energy to work. And yeah, I just thank you so much for sharing that. I was trying, and I'm going to see if I can find it before the end of our conversation, but I've been reading Remember Love by Cleo Wade. I don't know if you've read it, but I got rejected from an opportunity I was really excited about. And the spirit of the rejection, like the reasoning behind it, was something that just like kind of hit my core. And I had been struggling and done a lot of writing those like last few days about enoughness. And I opened up the book that day, and the first page was a quote about enoughness. And I was blown away. And I was like, I hadn't opened the book in a little while. Enoughness is not a mountain. It's a mirage of a mountain. We do not need to climb it. We need to see through it.
Yes.
And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, that is so just, it was what I needed to hear.
It resonates so deeply because I meditate on being enough on a daily basis. So one of my new like daily practices is breath work, which, you know, like I'm like a big advocate for.
Yes.
We did breath work sessions together many times, but now I'm working on being a stronger meditator. And so I'm up to about like 5 minutes, which is good for me as a person that struggles with just like, I can't focus on one thought.
So
5 minutes is a huge win. But, you know, a part of my meditation is about knowing and assuring myself that I'm enough and not leaning into that perception of others, of what my enoughness is, or because it's all, you know, it's all up to how we feel. Side, and that will shine through for, like you mentioned, for that right one, that right opportunity.
Totally. Oh, well, didn't expect to go on that path so early, but I'm glad we did. So I mean, it does so much of these conversations are about peeling back and understanding the humans before we talk about the career journey, because those two things are one and the same, frankly. You are the human that's going on this journey. And so hopefully everyone's getting a sense of you already. But just something to slightly shift the conversation, I had been prepping for our chat today, and yes. I had no idea you were a dance minor in college.
I was. So I went to Northern Illinois University, and they had a wonderful dance program, a wonderful theater and dance program. And growing up, I took all sorts of dance classes, tap, ballet, modern dance. And I knew that I wanted to keep up with the practice even when I went away to school. And so I enrolled into the dance program, and I'm like, wow, I really love this. I know that I want to be some type of business professional. I think my freshman year, I was like, oh, I'm going to be like a tax attorney or like a financial advisor, even though I'm horrible at math. but I knew I was going to be some type of business professional, but I, being a Pisces, being a water sign, I'm very creative. And so I wanted to make sure that I, you know, had something, you know, a part of, or make sure that a part of my college journey was creative. And so, yeah, I decided to minor in dance, and had wonderful professors and instructors there. And it was really fun. And now that I like think about like, like what could I still do like in that, you know, arena?
Yeah.
Like now that I have all this time, I'm like, you know, what creative things could like, or, you know, would I have done if I wasn't so, you know, driven by making money and paying back student loans? Like what would have been my ideal career path? And I always talked about like opening up a dance school or some type of art center, or you know, even like volunteering at a theater and helping with like setup and lighting and sound and things like that. Like I really enjoy just like the theater community in general. So it's just, yeah, it's funny that you brought that up, because it feels like a past life.
Yeah. Totally.
At this point, but I think, you know, when things like this happen in life, like when you unexpectedly lose, you know, a job, it feels like you're really grieving. And then like when you're grieving and like going through that process, you start to think about, you know, what like your true passions are, or what are some things that like you left behind as well.
Oh, well, hopefully maybe this can be a little bit of reinvigoration into your dance world. I know I danced as a kid. I didn't take it all the way to college, but I still love to dance and do a bit of dancing at home with the kids, even though they're starting, Kennedy's starting to get just a little bit embarrassed, but I'm like, sorry, it's part of me.
It's just right, just right.
Oh. Cool. Well, I love that about you. And another thing I love about you, and I mentioned at the beginning, is how much love and compassion and energy you put into your son. And you are, he's in second grade now. Our kiddos, our oldest, my oldest and Cairo are right around the same age, about a year apart. What does motherhood look like for you right now?
It's so different now, because I feel like I just have almost like a gray cloud lifted. Where like I can really kind of slow down and focus on what he's into. I've learned so much about video games in the last few months. I'm not good at playing them, but at least I understand the concepts, the characters, the storylines. I'm like, okay, I got it. And even just like his little personality is just, you know, it's just so much, you know, clear to me. And I think that's, you know, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but one of the struggles of, you know, being like very career focused is that like sometimes you miss out on, you know, what you think are like small things, which are actually like big things. And it's like recognizing like this is like a whole human that you've brought to the planet, and they have their own thoughts and their own opinions. And he is very good at expressing his opinions. But now like I have all this time to like talk about it with him. And he's also a negotiator as well. Like, you know, a master negotiator. And so I find it fun. Oh yeah. I find it fun to be like, oh, okay, let's have a conversation about that. Let's see, you know, what's your supporting evidence? You know, so that's been fun to just like really kind of lean into like who he is as a person, and just spend more time with him, making sure that he, and I'm very transparent with him, so like he knows my situation. Like I don't want him to you know, ever feel like he doesn't know what's going on with me, because, you know, like I said, like, you know, you're grieving the loss of a job, like obviously like your mood changes and, kids don't understand that. And so, you know, not to put too much on him, because I definitely don't want it to be too heavy, but he is the type of kid that like really understands emotions. He's very emotionally intelligent. And so like we have age appropriate conversations about what mama's going through. And I think that in the long run, he'll grow up to appreciate the type of relationship that I'm curating with him, one that's transparent so that he feels that he can be transparent with me as well as he gets older. My hope, you know, I can't predict what the teenage years are going to look like, but my hope is that I'm laying the foundation for, you know, that type of relationship when he gets older.
That's a possibility of sounding cheesy, that is inspiring. The way that you are navigating those conversations with your son and frankly treating him age appropriately like an adult, like having those conversations in a way that he can digest and not be scared of. I am curious, I've talked to my kids a little bit about, you know, mommy's not working right now. Taking care of you. I am working on myself. I am working on my creative projects, but I'm not working in the sense that you've always known me to work. Like, what was that conversation like to balance, transparency without creating like fear there?
Right. And it sounded very similar to that. It was very just like direct, like, mom is not working right now. Mom won't be on her early morning Zoom meetings anymore.
Yep. Which
I have more time to spend with you in the morning. We can, you know, watch a little TV as we get ready, or we can go for a walk before school. Mom is going to be going through different interview processes, and I'll, you know, still have a lot more time in between preparing for that to spend with you and asking him, like, what are some things that you may want to do while mom has this downtime? And then making sure that he doesn't feel anxiety around, you know, loss of income. I didn't bring that into the conversation. I didn't say anything about money or, you know, anything like that. So it's just around my availability and me taking time for myself, but also having more time for him.
That's amazing. Yeah. I think about, in complement to that, I think about, okay, how do we have the conversation with our kids when we go back to that world?
Right.
Now
that's like, gonna be interesting. Yes.
Yeah. Like I, cause I know how I get. I know I can get short when I'm stressed. I know that I am less present when I'm getting the kids ready in the morning because I've already had a call or two and I might be listening to one and then I might be having to prep for a meeting later. My presence is different. And, you know, I do have sacred time, but I do think that it will be a bit of a shift for them again when I ultimately get, you know, that full-time kind of corporate job back. So I don't know. We'll have to talk about that when
we'll have to talk across that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
I do think about that too. And hopefully the things that we're doing now will allow us to be a little less short and a little bit more. Yeah. We'll approach it differently, but yes, we'll have to revisit that.
I do think you're right. I mean, I think so much about it is how much are we pouring into ourselves before, you know, what they all quote unquote say, put your oxygen mask on first. We're spending the time to do that now so that we can, you know, be present for the multiple hats we wear.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about your career. You've done so much, from real estate at the very beginning to spending the last 12-ish years in account management and customer success, both the customer care part, but also the you know, commercial management. What's that journey been like? Like, why'd you start? Where did you start? Where you started? How did you find your way into, you know, this area that you're now in and have been in for a while?
Yeah, I played around a lot, you know, with what I really wanted to do. So in high school, like I worked in like a real estate office and I, you know, had a mentor and I thought I was really going to like go that direction. And I'm like, no, maybe I want to, you know, be an attorney, like, you know, one of my cousins that I look up to. And I said, I don't know about law school. Maybe I want to focus on public relations. And so I ended up majoring in corporate communications with the plan to be like a PR executive. And that was going all well until I actually got very sick after graduating undergrad. And so I had to take a break. And in taking that break, I got a part-time job selling subscription tickets for the Joffrey Ballet here in Chicago and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And I just fell in love with selling, just like cold calling. I'm like, this is so fun. Like, I just get to call random people and sell them the opportunity to have a fun evening out, like doing things that, you know, I've grown up experiencing. And it connected me back to the dance world and, you know, all of that. So it was really cool. And I just fell in love with the motion of sales and being rewarded by being a good salesperson. And so once I was feeling, you know, well enough to go back into work full time, this was still like mid 2000s, late 2000s. I ended up in the tech industry here in Chicago and working with the company that gave me like my first experience of what SaaS was going to be. It was still like not really considered SaaS because it was still like on-premise, but I'm like, okay, this is cool. Like, I like the tech aspect. And I've been in tech ever since. I've been in tech sales as an account manager and a BDR and kind of really fell into a networking opportunity 1 year. And Gainsight was actually the sponsor for the event. And they talked about, like, what is customer success? And it just opened my eyes to, you know, this world of, you know, supporting customers with, you know, getting value out of their investments with all of these software companies. And I'm like, that's amazing, because I like building relationships with people. I like solving problems. I like sales, but I knew that it wasn't something that I wanted to like 100% focus on. So, you know, being able to balance relationship management with sales was ideal for me. And I just, you know, continue to dive deeper into the customer success world here in Chicago and, you know, kind of networked my way to different opportunities and ended up at Lever at the kind of tail end of the first year of the pandemic. And it's been a journey. It's been a ride. I've, you know, been able to kind of curate like a global community of customers that I've supported over the years, which is just amazing. I don't think that, you know, as a young person, I ever thought that I would, you know, be able to build relationships with people all over the world and help them solve challenges that, you know, are very unique to their industry. I never thought that I would be able to work with individuals that are just so passionate about their work and just so empathetic to others. I've really been lucky to work with some of the teams and some of the people that I've been able to collaborate with over the years. I've really lucked up It's always the people, right? It's always the people that you work with.
I mean, it at the end of the day, doesn't it have to be, right? Like, I don't know. I don't, yes, we're working to pay our bills, period, mm-hmm. right? We need income to survive, to live, to thrive, to build, you know, but you can do that in so many different ways. And so
right.
choosing to do it with people that you want to invest in, you want to learn from, you want to help make successful in terms of like your, even your customers. It's just, yeah, I totally agree that the standout favorite part of every company I have worked for has been finding just those people, these great, smart, energetic, empathetic people that really care about bettering themselves, bettering the world, bettering the people around them. Yeah, I totally agree.
And hands down, it's always that for me. It's always those, like, you know, internal relationships, you know, that I've built that, you know, just years back, you know, I can reach out to those people and, know that we have each other's back, right?
Yeah.
And even, you know, even some customers, you just kind of like make a mark on a customer or they make a mark on you. And they can reach out or vice versa. And that's really what kind of keeps me coming back to CS is kind of like my home base.
Yeah, I love that.
As far as, yeah, my career is concerned. So, you know, and over the years, there certainly have been, you know, challenges with, I hate to use this phrase because I just don't believe in it anymore, but imposter syndrome. I feel like there's been like a big debate about what that means to, you know, certain people, because it's different for everyone. And now I'm just choosing not to subscribe to it.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yeah,
tell me
I
more.
I had the opportunity to work with someone within our previous organization on our enablement team on an enablement program for our CSMs around limiting beliefs. And I just listened to your episode with Christine Kring, and you all mentioned limiting beliefs. I like to think of any like barrier in your career having to do with limiting beliefs rather than imposter syndrome, because imposter syndrome to me just feels so heavy. It feels like it just discredits who I am and what I've achieved. It also feels like I'm applying like some type of diagnosis to myself. I don't need any more diagnoses.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I know that I have, you know, made it into spaces where I've been in those spaces because I deserve to be there, because someone saw something in me and it was the perfect fit at that time. And so if there is something that I'm not able to do, it's because there's some type of limiting belief within myself that I need to work on.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I have heard a bit of the debate on imposter syndrome, but never quite articulated in the way you did of saying that it is discrediting and diagnosing,
yeah.
which doesn't feel good, but instead saying it's a identify, if you feel that way, identify what the limiting belief is, and then you can evolve and not have it be a limiting belief anymore. Of course, that takes time and actually doing the work, but that's so much more of a, I feel like, of a growth mindset approach to that feeling Absolutely. That people are often referring to when they say imposter syndrome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Oh, thank you. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say, like, I've had like colleagues or, you know, good friends of mine, you know, just use that term, and like I've just had time to think about it. What makes us an imposter? You know, what that word is just so loaded for me. And so now I'm, like you said, focusing on doing the work to remove the limiting beliefs. Yeah.
Is there anything that you've learned about yourself around those limiting beliefs in this time away? Like anything that really you feel like has kept you from, being reaching a height you want to reach or being as happy as you can be or like congratulating yourself? And like, is what has that, anything stood out to you?
Yeah, I think I connect the dots back to, you know, being a mom, being a single mom, and not giving myself enough credit for all the things that I accomplish in a day, all the things that I'm able to get done at work, and, you know, hyping myself up about it. I think even you and I had like conversations about this like maybe a year ago, like, you need to, like, you know, shout yourself out more. You need to highlight, you know, your wins more. Because that all, you know, directly correlates with my limiting belief that, you know, I can't be the type of leader that I want to be because I'm a single parent. It's just not true. It's not
It
true.
is,
And
yeah. Oh.
so, yeah, that's a big one that I'm working on, because I know I am a leader and I can continue to grow on my leadership journey being a single parent and doing all the things that I wanted, whatever I want to do or whatever I choose to do at whatever level, you know, it can be done.
Yeah, it's so interesting in having a lot of these conversations and like thinking a lot about this concept of kind of defining your own version of success, defining the career and the life and all the components of life that really make you feel fulfilled. It's made me think about you can't like there's this school of thought of you can have it all. And then there's a school of thought of you can have it all, but you can't have it all at once. And I actually think you can have it all at once. You can have it all. You can have it all at once with the right trade-offs, choices, expectations, because you can't have it all at this mastery level at
Exactly.
the same time. And
Exactly.
so to your point on I can be a great single mom. I can be an amazing customer success practitioner. I can focus on my mental health and put out, which we'll talk about, content to help others in this field in their mental health. And I can be a great ass leader.
Yeah,
In
absolutely.
so many senses of the word. So, as you were talking, I found myself nodding and nodding because I couldn't agree with you more of one, that feeling of that being a limiting belief, and also choosing again not to subscribe to it anymore and define it what it is to you that's most important.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of it for me too is also realizing that being a parent, like, there's going to be different stages of your life because your child is going through different stages. And so as my son gets older, the opportunities that I have or that I even may want to consider are going to change. And so I'm preaching to myself, patience, patience, because, you know, things will look different, you know, as the years go on. But now I have this unique opportunity to focus on like laying the foundation of what I want that to look like as well.
Yes. Is Cairo, did he turn 8 or is he still 7?
He turned 8 in November.
Okay. Big boy. Okay, so my question to that is, so I agree with you that it different change stages, you might have more space or you might need more focus or on your child versus your career or other parts of your life. I am curious, how you have seen that even evolve from, you know, okay, pre-Cairo, you're you know, going to welcome him into your family, but he's not here yet, to he's here and a baby, to now he's 8 and this math guru and yes. this amazing kid. What have you even seen stages, and what have those stages been like even in those first few years? I say this because I think there's a lot of people that are listening to this that are either in similar boats to you and me, like we're in the thick of it. There's people that are going to be past us that are like, my kids are in high school or in college or, you know, married with their own kids. And then there's people that are probably considering family planning, actively family planning, or considering having a family. Like what have you seen in those first 8 years?
Yeah. I think in the beginning, when he was on his way, I was just so focused on making sure that I had just like the mental capacity to be the mom of a newborn, but also, you know, get back to work within a span of 12 weeks. And what was that going to look like? So all of that just feels like almost a blur. But once I kind of got the hang of the routine and really shedding a lot of the mom guilt, it got exponentially better. And I felt, even, and everyone is different, but I felt more ambitious, more charged up to really like go after my next career opportunity, because I wanted more for myself. I wanted more for him. So I really just like, you know, work my butt off to, you know, continue my career path and making sure that I align myself with opportunities that were going to give me the opportunity to grow. And then once toddler years came around, it got a little bit challenging because he was very active. He's still very active.
Toddler.
And again, you know, that guilt kind of comes back because you're not present during the day. He was like in daycare or like with my mom. I was driving about like 2 hours from one suburb to another on a daily basis.
Wow.
And so, you know, during that period, I felt like, okay, I'm doing the hard work now. It's going to pay off. But you feel like you're missing, you know, some of those things, a big chunk of his day. And then, you know, it did work out where then I got aligned to another opportunity that really allowed me to blossom, like as a CS practitioner, as like more of like a senior leader. And the pandemic hit. And then it was a doozy of a adjustment to be at home with him all day, where for the 3 previous years I was not. And I learned a lot about myself as a parent, about my level of patience and, you know, the patience that you just need for yourself and for them. And, you know, it was hard. You know, I'm not going to lie. It was hard to, you know, make that adjustment. And it was hard for, you know, everyone at that point. But, you know, I persevered. Until he was able to get to kindergarten, it was like a hallelujah moment. We're in full-time school, like we've made it, all day school. And he was just so excited. He's such a well-rounded kid where he loves sports and video games and school equally. And so he was super excited to go to school, and I was super excited for him to be able to go and socialize with other children after just being around me, you know, and his grandparents and his dad, like all day. And, you know, things settled a little bit more. And, you know, that time allowed me to kind of like reevaluate and refocus and start to work on some of the limiting beliefs that I had, you know, even, you know, in my role at that time, to think about, okay, like what's going to be my next step? Because I can't just allow myself to plateau. You know, what's going to be my next challenge? So now that he's 8, I have even, you know, more time to be introspective and think about the things that I want. And I know that he's like a little supporter. He is really good about, you know, understanding, you know, that I'm his parent, but also that I'm human and I have emotions too. And I think that at this age, that can be rare for a kid to pick up on. That's why I mentioned a little bit earlier that he's super emotionally intelligent. Like just, some of his other friends, you're just like, okay, they're just like on totally different wavelengths. Like Cairo will be like, are you okay? I can kind of, you know, I could tell that you're a little upset. Like he's like that at home as well. So I really appreciate that, you know, I have the benefit of that quality in him.
I love to hear you talk about him so much. I love to see the outcome of what you've poured into him as being this amazing, well-rounded kid. And holy crap, he is, I bet, a sponge watching you right now prioritize you. And of course, what's good for you and him and your family, but also knowing that you listening to you, being in your body, deciding what is going to fill your cup is so important too. So you are setting him up for a really exciting, powerful life.
I hope so. That's what every mom can hope for.
You're a great mama. You're a great mama. I really want to get to, you've had this extra space in your life right now and you're actively looking for your next full-time thing, but you've been, you know, aside from focusing on your mental health journey, your physical health journey, your beautiful child, you've also been leaning into creating and sharing, like thinking about how to create and share resources around mental health, specifically in the customer success world. I'm curious to hear a little bit more about what prompted you to invest your time and energy in that area. You know, have some thoughts based on what I've heard you talk about today and just knowing you, but you know, for the folks listening, why that?
Yeah. So about a year ago, a little over a year ago, I had gotten so overwhelmed and anxious at work that it turned into a lot of stress that like I internalized. And I at the time didn't know how to, you know, really, you know, get rid of that stress. You know, it didn't matter like how many walks I went on or how many yoga classes I took or if I changed my diet, the stress was just still lingering. And it ended up manifesting itself physically, which is like the thing you never want to happen, or the thing that you don't expect. And I ended up getting Bell's palsy, which I had no idea what it was. I know that sometimes it can be a result of having like a virus and, you know, it kind of impacts a little nerve on the side of your face. But after kind of talking with specialists and neurologists, and because it came on and then it went away and then it came back and went away, they were of the mindset that it was stress induced. And I'm like, oh my God, like what, you know, what is going on? I need to pause and I need to evaluate, you know, where is the stress coming from? And for the first time in my career, I took some time off. Like I went on a leave of absence, and I had time to think about, you know, how am I handling my day to day? What am I doing that is not right for me? And so I discovered that I'm not doing enough for me. And I found some resources that have been very helpful to me. So I started doing things like Reiki and breath work and, you know, deeper meditation. I had like tried my hand at meditation solo, but wasn't always like the best at it, but, you know, more structured meditation sessions. And all of those things have like opened my eyes to the connection between just burnout, but specifically burnout within the CSM community, within the last year and a half at this point. In talking to some of my colleagues, both at, you know, previous companies that I've worked for, or just like in networking, you know, like I know that this burnout is not unique to me. It's being felt. And I now want to take the opportunity to kind of bring to life some ideas that I've had for the last year or so since this kind of very like personal health challenge, to allow CSMs to kind of build into their day the opportunity to take care of themselves and kind of pause and slow down, even just for a little while. The nature of our work is just so go, 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 go. And that can be true in a lot of different industries, but I think that we're seeing now, like, as you know, as the role of a CSM like evolves, it's just getting to be more of a high pressure, highly visible role, and that's a lot to kind of transition and evolve into. And so I want to be able to create content and provide resources to CSMs that are going to hopefully impact their overall wellness. And so I'm excited to be working on that. I'm still not even sure what it will all look like, but I'm working on the very beginning stages of it, and I'm hoping that it reaches you know, an audience that it's meant for. My goal is not for it to be like too new agey or anything like that. It's really just about slowing down and taking time for yourself. But yeah, that's what I'm working on right now.
Well, I'm here for it. And I've been in go-to-market my entire career, but really only got into the customer success world over the last 3 or so years, and have seen firsthand, I mean, customer success is this space where you are, I mean, you're carrying a huge burden and central line of communication for the customers that you support within the company, and are really connective tissue for that customer's success and the rest of the company, and really how to get the resources aligned to make sure that that customer is successful. So there is, every job is hard in its own unique way. So I'm not saying one is harder than the other, but I can understand why the realm of customer success can be something that is heavy and exciting and energizing and impactful.
Yes.
And you've got to make sure that you're putting your oxygen mask on first. So I'm excited to see what you come up with. I know you played a huge role in our last organization in variety of formats in terms of being a leader on the wellness committee, and a huge part of our ERGs, and making sure that what you were learning on your own journey could also benefit others. So I'm really excited to see what you come out with and to share.
Yes. I'm excited to see it come to life. And, you know, certainly, you know, to your point, CSMs, they, you know, we're always called the quarterbacks, right? But we struggle sometimes with kind of connecting the dots between resources, or we struggle to get resources. And so my hope is that, you know, I can be a resource to just the larger CS community. So I'm super excited to get started on that.
That's great. Well, we'll definitely share it out as it starts to become something shareable.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I could talk, you and I could chat for a while. I'm so grateful for the time and experience and energy you've already put into this, but we want to end with a few fast fire questions meant to be, an opportunity to just get to know a little bit, you know, I'll take them one by one. Feel free to answer in a word, a sentence. I got this inspiration because Jay Shetty on his On Purpose podcast does it. And I always just love these little tidbit takeaways. So number one, what's the most important thing you do for your mental health?
Definitely taking time to breathe every day, and specifically breathing correctly. Breathing in for 4, holding for 2, breathing out for 5, whatever cadence works for me that day. It helps me to regulate my nervous system in a way that I was like very uneducated about, you know, quite frankly, for many years. I don't think that like we go to school and go to gym class and learn how to breathe correctly, but it's just so important to really get oxygen to your brain and get your nervous system like back online. So that's something that I absolutely have to do every single day.
And something that's so accessible to us to do now.
Anybody can do it. And that's what I love about it. It's free. It takes 2-3 minutes, and it just makes a world of difference.
Agreed. Number 2, what person or experience has had the most significant influence on who you are today?
Definitely my mom. Because she was a teacher for 35 plus years. She worked with students with special needs and developmental delays. And I just always admire her ability to care for children, including me and my brother, in such a loving and just inspiring way. I never wanted to be a teacher, but I knew that I wanted to carry those qualities of making sure everyone feels seen and heard into whatever career I decided to jump into. And so I take all the things that I just saw her doing as a teacher with me. Even, you know, just having confidence to be vocal and speaking up and advocating. She advocated for children. I advocate for customers. So definitely my mom.
Yeah. So much I can relate to on that. Thank you for sharing that. Your mom, as my family would call, is an earth angel with what she did and what she has where she decided to put her energy. So thank you to her. best stage of being a parent so far?
I think this stage.
It's fun, right?
It feels very fun. It gives me insight into just like who I imagine him to be as an adult. I feel very confident that like if we stay on this path, there's going to be some great things ahead. And so I think that's very exciting. And I, you know, I enjoy just watching him you know, it's like I never thought like that I would say that, you know, like, oh, I just enjoy watching my kid. Like I do. I really enjoy just seeing like him with his friends and, you know, him solving these very complex logic puzzles. This is a fun stage for sure.
Love it. Number four, a piece of advice that you would give to another single mom.
Definitely take care of yourself, like you, and do it early. Don't wait to do it. You know, start at the very early stages. And when you think that you don't have time for yourself, you know, make the time. Definitely just make the time for yourself. Yeah.
That. And number five, what would you tell your 22-year-old self right now?
Ooh, that's a good one. Keep doing something creative, girl. Keep being creative. Don't stifle it down. Don't, you know, hide it from others. Be creative and you know, decide what that's gonna look like, but don't abandon your creativity, because that is, you know, that's really, you know, where your passion is, and where your love for yourself is within your creativity. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You,
You
Jen.
are, as always, it's a pleasure, and thank you. I know there's so much of, I can't wait to go back and listen. I know there's so much of what you talked about today that is going to have people thinking, is going to have people saying, I'm not alone, is going to have people say, I'm going to really take a look at my limiting beliefs and rethink this next step. So thank you for your vulnerability, and just happy to know you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I feel so excited to be able to express myself in this way. I think this is something that I've been needing like these last few months, is to like express how I'm feeling outwardly. And I would not have, you know, done it with anyone else but you.
Oh, love you. Love that. Thank you so much. And that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for being here and spending your time with us. I know how busy you are and that it was a choice to click on the Balance is Bullshit podcast and spend some time with us. So I really, really appreciate that. If you enjoyed the conversation today and got value out of it, there's so much you can do to not only support us, but potentially add value to someone else. Shout from the rooftops what you loved. Give us a rating or a review. Like us, follow us, subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts. And don't forget to share this episode with someone that you think would love it too. We'll see you again soon.